welcome to Two Boomer Women. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. I've been talking with Boomer Women for almost a decade now. Well, I guess I've been talking to Boomer Women all my adult life. Reinventing myself several times along the way, though, but always focused on us, Boomer Women. With this incarnation of Two Boomer Women, I'll be interviewing other women who have a message of interest for our demographic. If you want to hear about or learn about something specific, let me know and I'll find someone who understands us to talk about it. There's a contact page at twoboomerwomen.com. If you want to be a guest on Two Boomer Women, bring it on. There's an application form at the website too. Finally, this show is all about conversation. We women know its value. We know how to do it, and we must perpetuate the art form. So let's get started with today's show. Hello again, Boomer Women. Episode 2. We've been waiting a whole week for this. Last week, if you did not mock tips, she has this fabulous document that she's prepared. She went through the first half of it on decreasing your risk of breast cancer. And oh my goodness, this woman is amazing what she knows. So if you did not catch the beginning, the first half of the show, go back to last week and catch it up. And this week she's continuing on. I tend to use the word excited. I'm just so enthused, I guess, about this. Just such incredible information. I thought I was pretty bright about a lot of things, but I am learning so much as I go along. So Marnie, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Agnes. It's a delight to be here with you.
And I'm not going to waste time. We did a bit of introduction last week. People can go back and listen to that. I'm going to let you dive back in.
Okay, I'm ready.
Thank you.
So I talked about last week about keeping your weight down, and I said one way to do that is with my next tip. So I'm going to jump forward now and tell you what that is. It's called intermittent fasting. This is something that's being talked about a lot in various health circles, and it's nothing new. It's simple withholding of food for a certain length of time. And, you know, you can still drink water and you can have green tea or herbal teas, whatever you want. The tea doesn't break your fast. But one particular study showed that fasting for just 13 hours per day significantly reduced recurrence of breast cancer in survivors. And 13 hours is pretty easy to do because you're asleep for most of that, right? So, for example, if you finished eating at 7:30 at night, so your next meal wouldn't be until 8:30 the next day. And so, like I say, it's not that hard to do, and there are immense benefits to be gained by doing this, including letting your digestive tract rest, and that has a follow-on benefit of reducing inflammation, helps you lose weight, energy levels, because you're not, you know, spending a lot of energy digesting. They say that it takes about 70% of the energy that your cells create simply to digest a meal. So that's pretty massive. So if you're not doing that, you're going to sleep better, you're optimizing hormone levels and loads of other things. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, I found this when you said 13 hours, I went, whoa, because I have a meditation app. And the fellow that does most of my favorite meditations, I prefer guided meditations.
Yep.
He's also an Australian, and he says, you know, on the bedtime meditations, don't have eaten for 4 hours before going to bed. So I usually have dinner about 6. I go to bed between 10 and 11. I have a water bottle beside my bed just because I tend to wake up and sip it in the night. And then I'm up at 7, I have breakfast about 8. So when I went 13 hours, I went, oh, I do that almost every night. I was pretty excited.
That's great. Good for you. And if you want to take it a notch further, go 14 hours and then, you know, but switch it up. Interestingly enough, they're discovering that when we are keeping our bodies in a state of adapting to the fast, for instance, one day you do 13 hours, the next day you do 14 hours, and then the next day you might do 15 hours, and then you drop it back to 13. By constantly making your body adapt, it actually operates better.
Okay, 15 hours without food.
Yes, well, as I say, you can have as much fluid as you want to. That's okay, as long as it doesn't have any sugar in it. You know, having a cup of green tea in the morning will give you a sense of fullness without breaking the fast.
Okay. How about my morning coffee, or is it better to be tea?
It is better to be tea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. So I'm going to carry on now. Number 14 is to avoid stress when you can, and when you can't, learn how to master your mind through meditation. And I'm glad you mentioned meditation. Good for you. Unrelenting stress raises your cortisol levels, and cortisol is a hormone produced by the body in response to stress. High levels of cortisol are toxic. One naturopath I know called cortisol the death hormone because of its detrimental effects on the body. For one thing, when cortisol circulates in our system for prolonged periods of time, it negatively impacts the brain. Brain cells, our neurons, are extremely sensitive to the effects of cortisol. When high levels of cortisol are circulating, this causes neurons to die. High levels of cortisol also negatively impact your immune system, the very thing you're relying on to keep yourself well, you know, especially during a pandemic. So the very best way to combat stress is with meditation. I cannot recommend it highly enough. As a breast cancer coach, at least 90% of my clients tell me that in the lead up to their breast cancer diagnosis, they were under too much stress. And it was the same for me. I feel strongly that learning meditation was one of the best things I could have done to help me deal with stress. Let's face it, we all have stress to one degree or another. I mean, we're living, right? So how can meditation help? It helps you to be more in control of your mind and your reactions. A Buddhist monk who was teaching me meditation way back when told me, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to it. And meditation helps you do that. And for me, that was a life-changing conversation. Interestingly, studies are showing that meditation actually helps to rewire your brain so that you're able to react more calmly in stressful situations. Now, I've had a few coaching clients to whom I suggested meditation, and because they were devout Christians, they thought that meditation wasn't supported by their religion, that it was somehow against God. Not true. The Christian Bible actually mentions meditation at least 23 times, 19 times in the book of Psalms alone. I found meditation to be so important for reducing stress levels that I developed my own meditation course to help people who had no access to meditation classes. And you can access this training on my website. It's under how-to courses. The other pushback I often get is when I mention the importance of being able to quiet the mind and relax, people tell me, there's not enough time. I can't seem to squeeze it in, or I'm no good at it. But these problems can and should be overcome. As far as not being good at it, it's like learning to walk. At first you fall down a lot, but you get better at it as you go, right? So, and if you think about it, many of the diseases and illnesses of modern society are due to an overabundance of stress. And if you can keep stress away using simple relaxation techniques, it's going to be a skill you will deeply appreciate, and it's going to help you stay healthy for much longer. And another thing that you can do is massage therapy. Massage therapy is amazing for helping to calm down that stress response.
Well, I think too, you know, I mean, this is called Two Boomer Women, this podcast. And, you know, being a boomer out in the world in the early 70s when the Beatles had done their thing, you know, yep. The only meditation I'd ever heard of was transcendental meditation. And, yeah. You know, there were these people in long orange robes and yep. They would sit in this weird cross-legged position and chant their om. And yep. Like, for me, that was just way out in left field. And then yep. I realized that meditation, there's many types of meditation, and it's so easy once it becomes a habit.
That's right, exactly so. And you know, if you find that you do have trouble calming your mind down, then use a guided meditation, you know, where you're listening to someone very calmly take you through a beautiful visualization of being in a very calming place that has as good an effort, you know, for helping to calm you down than you know, sitting there and being stressed out because you can't shut your mind up. But I think also it is good to occasionally just sit quietly, shut your eyes, and let your mind just drift. And if you find that you are concentrating too heavily on a certain line of thought, like what am I going to make for dinner tonight or what have you. You just let it go. Just consciously, okay, I can let that go and just watch it drift off like a cloud in the sky, you know? And by quieting your mind, some sort of magic happens. If you get to the point where you can just notice that you haven't had any thoughts for quite some time, that in itself is pretty magical. And in between, I call that the gap. That's where the magic really happens. I once had an elderly meditation teacher who was trying to explain to us the difference between prayer and meditation. And she said, prayer is when you're talking to God, and meditation is when you're listening for the answers. Isn't that beautiful?
That is. That really is. Yeah. And I find, I mean, I have a meditation app on my phone just so that it's there. And it's got a whole bunch of tracks of just meditative music.
Mm.
And I find that just sitting quietly, even with music, it helps tune out my environment if I can't do that by myself. But it's just wonderful.
Absolutely. Do you remember the name of the app? I'll write it down.
Breathe with two E's. Breethe.
Cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
So number 15 is to build a strong immune system. Since your immune system is your first line of defense against cancer cells and other pathogens, making sure that it's working optimally is of paramount importance, especially since there are so many things that can turn it off or compromise it. So I'm going to share three different things you can do to help improve immunity. Number one, reduce your toxic load by learning how to detox your organs. Start with a colon cleanse and then move on to a liver cleanse. I've got another how-to course on my website that will teach you how to do this. Number two, know what supplements help to boost your immune system. Now, of course, if you have an autoimmune disease, you don't want to boost your immune system. So there's that factor. And if that's the case, you should be working with a naturopath to help you with that. But my favorite immune boosters are medicinal mushrooms like reishi, shiitake, turkey tail, chaga, maitake. There's a bunch of them. And there are certain herbs also that can be used for boosting or modulating the immune system. I've got a list of those on my website as well. Three, sleep is really important for a healthy immune system. And so is, you know, as we've talked about, keeping stress levels down. And as a quick bonus tip, I'm going to tell you that number four, your gastrointestinal system contains the largest number of immune cells in your whole body. In your GI tract, you have about 80% of your immune cells. So you can see that having a healthy digestive system is vitally important. Ensure that you get any candida out of your system. Take probiotics and digestive enzymes. As we get older, our digestive enzymes are much, much reduced, and so it really helps to take some with a meal and eat plenty of quality fiber to help keep your digestive tract clean and functioning optimally.
Well, funny you mentioned probiotics, because I just, in our Facebook group, asked about probiotics, having been on an antibiotic after Christmas, which really messed with my system. I've never had a result like that.
Yeah.
And once again, you know, you came back in with such good information that I really appreciated it.
I'm really surprised. I mean, most days when they're prescribing antibiotics like that, we'll say to you, now make sure you take a good probiotic. You weren't told that, huh?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The pharmacist said, you know, maybe you should think about it. So we went and looked, and there was something on the shelf, which I've seen a good probiotic should be in the fridge or in a cooler.
Generally, actually, interestingly enough, that used to be the case. But now they are creating some good ones that don't have to be in the refrigerator.
Oh, okay.
So it depends on what. It depends on what strain of bacteria they're using.
Because this one was on the shelf, and I must admit, it was humongously important. Humongously expensive. So
expensive. I had a feeling it would.
You know, regrettably. Yeah. Although, once I got onto a good probiotic, my system did right itself amazingly well, and I'm still on it now because I think you recommended that.
Yes, stay on it for a little while after having on antibiotics. Yeah, that's really important. So number 16 is detox your personal care products and household cleaners. This is a huge topic. Unseen toxins are prevalent in everything we use. from the dishwashing liquid that you're using to the flea collar on your pet. Most are not good for the environment, and they certainly aren't good for us. The problem with many cleaning products is that they have chemicals in them that, you know, there's like 70,000 different registered chemicals that are known hormone disruptors, in addition to being toxic and carcinogenic. So these substances can increase the estrogen load in the body, and over time, they're difficult to detoxify through the liver. They're called xenoestrogens or foreign estrogens. And here's why that's a problem. They mimic the effects of our natural estrogen, and they can alter hormone activity. Growing evidence implicates xenoestrogens in a wide range of human and wildlife health problems. These synthetic estrogens are making their way into our bodies and pretending to be our biological estrogen. They're present in our soil, water, air, food supply, and especially in our personal care and household products. One particular nasty is something called a paraben. You'll see it in your list of ingredients. For instance, it's really, you see it a lot in things like lotion and deodorant. You'll see it in the list as propylparaben or butylparaben, anything with that word in it. I was suspicious of those when I first was diagnosed with breast cancer, so I started avoiding it. But I wasn't too sure. It was more of a gut instinct, you know, that it wasn't going to be good for me. So it wasn't until several years later that I actually read the research. Dr. Philippa Darbre, it's Darbre, of Reading University in the UK, she analyzed the breast tissue samples from 40 women undergoing mastectomies between 2005 and 2008 for her first primary breast cancer. So in total, she had 160 samples collected, four from each woman, covering locations from nearest the armpit to the sternum, the breastbone. And the results showed that 99% of the tissue samples contained these parabens, and 60% of the samples had five different parabens in them. So this is a clear indication that either the parabens are causing the cancer, or at the very least, the body has trouble getting rid of it. And that's not good. That's just one chemical that I'm talking about there, and there are so many others. So here's the fix. Buy certified organic body products and cosmetics. The word natural means absolutely nothing. Products labeled as natural can still contain umpteen xenoestrogens. So we need to be very proactive about this. I recommend analyzing every single thing you put on your body, from the nail polish to the mascara, lotion, deodorant, anything that you put on your body needs to be really closely looked at. And there's a website that will help you with this. It's called EWG.org. That stands for Environmental Working Group. Click on their section called Skin Deep, and they've got a database there of hundreds of thousands of chemicals that will let you know whether the ingredients in your body products and cosmetics are safe. It's full of fantastic information. I think they even have their own line of safe products. So bookmark that site and go through the list of ingredients on everything you're using. Now, unfortunately, quite a few of our cleaning chemicals, they don't even have to list what's in them. So go for the green option whenever possible, or go back to old things like, you know, wash your windows with vinegar and newspapers used to do, you know.
I do.
It works so well. And, you know, it's really important to do that. So anyway, going back to that Skin Deep website, if the ingredient you're looking at has a green tick mark, you're good to go. If it's yellow or red, put it in the trash. Better yet, make your own stuff, you know, then you know where everything comes from. I have quite a few really good recipes for things like body butter that you can make with some wonderful ingredients, you know, using organic coconut oil, shea butter. It's simple to make, takes minutes. The hardest part is just getting the ingredients together, and then you just keep them in the fridge, and, you know, you can make your own really amazing plant-based lotions and potions for yourself. I don't make my own cosmetics. That's a little bit too much out of my wheelhouse, but I do use organic brands that I know are safe, and I think that's really important to do.
Now, I'm someone who, I have one phone. It's my cell phone, and I mean, I don't have Facebook on it. I don't have any of that stuff, but I do have a number of apps.
Yeah.
And I've got an app for that too. So if I'm in a store
Yeah.
and I'm trying to decide about a product, all I need to do is scan the UPC.
Yeah.
And obviously, it does not have every product in the world in the app.
Right.
Although if it doesn't have it, you're welcome to take photographs and just send it in, and they'll register it.
Right.
But the one thing I find, even amongst some of the better products, is as soon as they add a scent, then it just spirals downwards. That's the
Yes,
bad stuff.
because so many fragrances are toxic in and of themselves. So that's why I recommend making your own, because you can use essential oils. You can use nice organic essential oils for the scent, and not only will you be giving yourself a wonderful anti-cancer, boost. Essential oils bring oxygen into your body, and most of them are antibacterial, and fabulous for your health.
I think I'm going to be spending more time in the next little while on your website.
I'm happy to help. So number 17 is all about what we've just been talking about. Use plant-based medicine rather than pharmaceuticals whenever you can. Nature has provided us with the best plants, trees, flowers, etc. for our healing. And this is the medicine we're supposed to use. So yes, of course, if you have a raging infection, take advantage of antibiotics if you have to. If you have a broken bone, go to the ER and get it set. But plant-based medicines are best for almost everything else that we need. We survive for millennia just using this type of medicine. Our bodies thrive on it. I use a combination of herbal medicine, as in tinctures, and sometimes I use essential oils. In fact, I use essential oils a lot, like every day. Most of them have anti-cancer action, and we have research to back that up. Like I said, essential oils help to oxygenate the body. And so keep in mind that cancer loves to grow in anaerobic, meaning without oxygen conditions. Both herbs and essential oils can help us regain our health, both physical and emotional. And if you don't know it, many pharmaceutical drugs are based on the natural phytochemicals obtained from plants. The reason they're doing this is so that they can patent it. But there's nothing like the original thing, right? I have a massage therapy background. That's what I did for many years. And there's an essential oil called wintergreen, which has within it a phytochemical known as methyl salicylate. And this particular essential oil has a lot of pain-relieving qualities. Well, what do you suppose they make aspirin from? Aspirin is salicylic acid, and they copied methyl salicylate to create aspirin. So, why not use the original thing? It has no side effects.
It blows me away, because so oftentimes, you look at the I'm notorious for looking at ingredients, and I find
Yeah.
even in the most natural things, and I have learned, is that sometimes you can't pronounce it, but you're proving now, just in the last three, that just because you can't pronounce it very easily doesn't mean that it isn't a natural product. And I think that's a
That's
really good
right.
lesson to learn.
Yeah. There are quite often I notice now with some of the more or better organic body products and things, they are using just very key components from essential oils, like linalool is one of them. They're using that as a preservative, but it also provides a scent component too. And very, very safe to do that. So, plants have been studied for centuries for their medicinal qualities, and our bodies are hardwired to use this. For instance, cannabis. Look, if you look at cannabis, we have specific receptors on our cells. It's called the endocannabinoid system. There's a good word for you, endocannabinoid. And it connects with the cannabinoid components in the cannabis plant. Pharmaceutical drugs, like I say, are often based on the natural chemicals found in plants so that the pharmaceutical companies can create the drugs they can patent and imitate the healing properties of these natural compounds. But the problems with drugs, obviously, is that they always have side effects, and most of them are toxic to the cells of our body. So, plant-based medicine is the best thing that nature can offer us for our healing.
Well, even in terms of healing, I mean, my goodness, thousands of years of history prove
That's right.
that it
Yeah, we
works.
made it through. That's right.
These people didn't have the drugstore down at the corner. They had to figure out what
That's
worked.
right.
And I'm sure it was
Yep,
by
they
trial and
found
error, but they figured it out.
it. Yep. Yeah, that trial and error, that's the thing that worries me. How did they find out which ones were poisonous, and which ones can be used for healing? That must have been pretty tricky. So number 18 is detox your mouth. Now, this is an interesting step, one that many people don't know about. Dentists these days pretty much are not using amalgam fillings, but many of us older chicks still have those old fillings in our mouths. And what we're finding is that they are responsible for leaching toxins into our system, like mercury, which is very toxic. I've worked with a number of ladies who had an old amalgam filling or root canal and got breast cancer on that same side where that filling was. So, and interestingly enough, I talked about thermal imaging before. It can pick this up. I have seen images from thermal cameras, which are can show you the leaching of toxins from the mouth right down into the breast. So we really have to pay attention to this. It's not going to be the leading cause of breast cancer, but any toxic increase is going to impair your immune system and keep it from working like it needs to. So always recommend that people see a holistic dentist to get these problems removed. That's the best way to go about that.
And once again, just I think this one needs to be emphasized because I don't know about in Australia, but dentists in Canada are ridiculously expensive.
Yeah,
And
they are too.
many of us do have dental plans, which help, but they still only pay a portion. So it's really easy to sort of go like, well, I'm just going to bypass that. I'm not in pain, so I'm okay. So yeah, good, really good point there.
And so number 19 is be aware of EMFs and radio frequencies. Things like electric blankets, computers, cell phone chargers. They all have electromagnetic fields, EMFs, and they don't belong in the bedroom. They can actually disrupt your sleep and cause melatonin levels to decrease. And, melatonin is a powerful antioxidant hormone that's needed to help you sleep well at night. And it has many other functions as well. It arrests and deters breast cancer from growing. So all electrical appliances and wires produce cancer-promoting EMFs. So here's some tips. Change the bright digital electric clock that sits next to your head to a battery-operated one, or use your wristwatch. Set that there. Ditch the electric blanket. You're going to be lying on or under an electromagnetic field, even if it's not turned on. And get the computer out of your bedroom. Turn off the Wi-Fi at night when you're not using it. I mean, we haven't actually shown that Wi-Fi is safe for us yet. And if it's going all night long, you're getting battered by that. And interestingly, hair dryers produce more EMFs than any other household appliance. And think how close to your head that is. So you can use a low EMF hair dryer instead. There's a website where you can get that. It's lowemf.com, lowemf.com. So that's another resource. Cell phones are a whole other matter. They operate on radio frequencies. And in May 2011, the World Health Organization classified radio frequency radiation as possibly carcinogenic for humans, based on an increased risk for glioma, a type of brain cancer. Now, this is a huge subject, and I'm not going to be able to get into this in detail, but studies are ongoing and pretty inconclusive. What I can share with you as a breast cancer coach is that I have several clients who used to tuck their cell phones into their bras when they were going out for an evening or went running or, sometimes I find it hard to believe. How can you tuck that? How? No. The whole idea just makes me shiver. But whatever they did, they ended up getting breast cancer in the breast next to which they tucked that phone. So was it causative? Who's to say? But it's certainly preventable just by changing the way you do things. And if you're going to go out and go for a walk and you're taking your phone with you, put it on flight mode. You don't need your hip being radiated while you're out walking.
Yeah, those phones, and I'm sure a lot of people, I can tell the tale of people who, butt pocket for is another one, and they end up with some sort of a a stomach cancer or some sort of intestinal cancer or something. Yeah.
Or men with testicular cancer or prostate cancer. And yeah, I'm continually telling my husband, get that phone out of your pocket.
It's now, I'm wondering, I've got a special container for like my credit cards so that, you know, those scanners can't catch the thing on my credit card. Yep. I wonder if there's a container that you could put your phone in.
That absolutely. Would, oh. Yes, absolutely. There are a number of websites that will sell a protective device that will, you can either wear it on your body or put it on your phone. I don't remember the name of the website, but if you look up EMF protection device, just Google that.
Oh, okay.
You're likely to come up with a few hundred different websites that will share that information with you. And it's not terribly expensive. I think it's a really important thing to do.
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, I don't carry a big purse, but I carry a smaller purse, just enough for my credit cards and whatever else I need, and my phone. Yeah. But if I had something similar sized, small, that I could sling over my shoulder, that would, protect me from my phone, because that's about the only thing, that is constantly with us, probably.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, people even take them into the bathroom with them, don't they?
I don't know.
They do, trust me.
Okay.
Sit there, you know, for 30 minutes and go through Facebook. So, yeah.
I'll digress just long enough to say bring around the bum. My goodness.
So number 20 on my list of 24 tips is get at least 30 minutes of exercise 5 times per week. Let your exercise be your medicine, not just your food. It really is that simple yet that important. Just 30 minutes of aerobic activity per day, whether it be walking briskly, rope jumping, running, trampoline, gym workouts, swimming, Pilates, yoga, dancing, whatever you like to do, gardening, do those things. One study with breast cancer survivors showed that simply having a high fruit and vegetable diet combined with exercising for at least 30 minutes per day, 5 times a week, and having a good support network of friends and family, people you can count on, to help you through the rough periods of life, decreases your risk of breast cancer by as much as 68%. Just those 3 things.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And get a dog, I guess, is that the best way to do it?
That's nothing like having a dog sitting there with his leash in his mouth saying, let's go.
That's right.
Get you off the couch. Yeah, it's important, really. I mean, even just walking briskly for 30 minutes a day, you can break that up too. You can make it 3 10-minute stints, you know, or if you're working at your computer for a long period of time, walk around the house 5 times, you know, whatever you need to do to get off the couch or your desk chair and get your blood pressure and your blood pumping. It's all so incredibly important. Number 21 is going to seem pretty obvious. If you're smoking, find a way to stop. Smoking brings more than 7,000 chemicals into your body, most of which are highly toxic. There's plenty of research showing how cigarettes cause cancer. I don't need to belabor that point. If you need help, consider using hypnotherapy or nicotine patches, but honor your body enough to stop smoking, please. 22, avoid birth control pills and hormone replacement. Now, I know there's quite a few people in our age group that are doing HRT, but except in those rare circumstances when your doctor says you absolutely have to, and those are rare. Long-term use of birth control pills has been shown to increase the risk of breast cancer, so consider other methods of birth control. Please ask your doctor. And hormone replacement therapy increases the risk of heart disease, strokes, blood clots, gallbladder disease, endometrial cancer, ovarian cancer, and invasive breast cancer. I have coached plenty of women who have had a history of one or the other, either the birth control pills or the hormone replacement therapy, and even women who are using bioidentical hormones. I've just been working with a lady who had bioidentical hormones for 7 years just in the lead up to her breast cancer. So I wouldn't necessarily say that's a good way to go either.
That was a huge topic of conversation. My friends and I were going through menopause or entering menopause.
Yeah.
And I think most of us chose not to.
Mm.
HRT.
Yeah, sometimes it's just better to deal with the side effects, and you can do that pretty effectively. There's a number of things that can help you with that. You know, certain supplements, like there's one called DIM that helps with estrogen metabolism. There is acupuncture for hot flashes. That's really good for that. There's a lot of different things you can do, different herbal potions that you can take that will help with a lot of those estrogen deprived, you know, it's a much better way to go than to use these synthetic hormones. So number 23 is include vitamins and nutraceuticals every single day. You know, stress, poor diet, soil depletion, and long delay times between fruit and vegetable being picked and actual consumption can cause the vitamins we get from the food we eat to be non-functional or even completely absent. So taking good quality supplements from a reputable source can make a huge difference to the 30 trillion cells in your body. Certain nutrients are especially helpful against breast cancer, such as selenium, omega-3 fatty acids, preferably not fish oil. I prefer getting it from flaxseed oil and freshly ground flaxseed. Medicinal mushrooms like reishi, maitake, turkey tail, those are all important. Vitamin D3 is extremely important for breast health. And it's also important for this pandemic we're going through. I'm seeing daily research studies coming through that vitamin D3 is incredibly beneficial for helping to protect from coronavirus. So that's a good one to know about. Antioxidants and the curcumin, which I talked about, I think, in the first half. All of these are incredibly beneficial and will help every part of you function better and reduce your breast cancer risk. Curcumin is actually quite good for arthritis too, which, you know, ladies of our age can also suffer from. You know, I was, as I said, I'm a massage therapist for 20 years. And so I have some swollen knuckles in my fingers that curcumin helps a lot with. And I'm taking one that has a combination of curcumin, ginger, which is also highly anti-inflammatory, and also one called boswellia, which is a constituent of frankincense. And all three of those things combined are pretty amazing for not only reducing your breast cancer risk, but also helping you with arthritis. So to dual purpose.
Is there recipes like for that stuff on your website?
I have a list of supplements that I recommend for people. It's under the tab called Breast Health. You can find that there, about that in there. But if anybody wants to contact me, there's a little tab on the website that you can click that says Contact. And if you want more information about any of those things, I can help with that. So now, lastly, but certainly not least, take care of yourself first. As women, you know, and especially in our age group, we tend to put our children, our husbands, our parents, our friends first. We are, after all, nurturers. And this comes naturally to us. And while it's commendable, we are doing it all wrong. Research shows that women with breast cancer tend to give too much at the expense of their own needs. You cannot pour from an empty cup. If you can take care of yourself first and stay healthy, then you have more to offer the ones you love, those who depend on you. And consider how looking after yourself first will communicate to others that it's okay to do this. You know, what a wonderful and valuable lesson to teach our children.
Yeah, I think that one point alone should be in bold, italic, red ink. You know, just so many women just put themselves last. And yep, when it's last, it may fit in if there's energy left, and usually there isn't, so it falls yep off the list.
That's right. Now, obviously, if you're nursing someone through a disease, that becomes a little bit more daunting. But there are still ways to squeeze things in by have a really good diet, take some good supplements that are going to help support you through that time of stress. Go get a massage when you can. You know, have someone you can talk to, because that's important too. You know, take a little walk. There's a lot of things you can do that you can sneak into that day that will really help support you while you're going through that stressful period.
Little tiny bits of meditation.
That's right.
Okay, well, it's not often that I'm speechless, and I certainly wasn't speechless throughout both of these episodes, but it blows me away, like going through all this information, and you make it sound doable, which I think is what I appreciate more than anything, because so
And I
often.
find that important, you need to make it in, you need to make it doable, and it needs to be in bite-sized pieces so that you can, interject some of this into your life.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not like you have to go through all 24 steps and boom, you got to change your life. It's like incorporate this and then incorporate that.
Yeah, step by step. Yep, little bit at a time. Don't do it all at once. It'll be too overwhelming to do all at once, but when you start doing making these changes just little by little, great things can happen.
Now, the article that we've been referring to is available to our listeners, isn't it, on your website? I thought there was an opt-in there.
It is. If you go to my website, there's a little pop-up, and there's two free ebooks when you sign up for the newsletters. And you don't have to stay subscribed to the newsletters if you don't want to, but there's loads of really good tips in there about healing and how to go about it and what things help and what things don't. So yeah, just it's marnieclark.com. That's my website, and if you go have a look there, you'll find lots of different information. And by all means, if you know someone who's been diagnosed with breast cancer, please share that website with them. There's a lot of information and resources on there for them that will help them out. And if you're only interested in the prevention side of it, then yeah, that information's there too. And those two ebooks are something that as soon as you sign up, it gets delivered to you in your email inbox.
Right. Now, at the beginning of both of these episodes, I introduced you as the breast cancer coach. Can you expand a little bit on the coaching part before we go?
Bet. I offer two different types of sessions for people. It's an hour of one-on-one coaching. We do that by Zoom chat. I will ask for information from the person, dietary information, what supplements they're taking, and even down to what kind of negative thoughts they're having, because this is a body-mind holistic approach. I think it's absolutely imperative to know all of those bits and pieces of information before I can be helpful for a person. But after I spend that time with them, that 1 hour, then I spend the next 3 or 4 hours working on a healing plan for them, where I'll go through what they've told me and make some little tweaks and some suggestions. And a lot of the information that I provide to them is based on years and years of trial and error, what works, what doesn't. And I will even provide them with a list of affirmations for those negative thoughts, because I find that if you're doing everything you can on the physical level and not attending to the mental approach, and how important it is to have a good mindset, and that part is really crucial. So that's the first type of consult. The other type of consult that's available is to we're just going over the nutrition, and we're talking about food and supplements and that sort of thing. And that's usually for the people who've already had the one-on-one session, and they're just looking to update that, because as we go through this process of healing, what you need initially, and especially if you're going through things like chemotherapy and radiation, is going to change quite a little, quite a lot after you've been through those therapies, and you don't necessarily need the same sorts of things. So, yeah, so those are the two types of consultations I've got available. But I also have how-to courses on there. It's a go-as-you-please online type of course. And I've got three of those available too, of various different, like you mentioned, one was a meditation course. The other one's called Toxic Free Me, which is a course which helps people who are wanting to do this as naturally as possible. And a lot of the information in there is based on these 24 tips that I just talked about.
Okay, well, okay, so in the show notes for everybody that's listening, obviously marnieclark.com, isn't it?
Yes.
Dot com, okay. And you also have a Facebook group, I believe, do you?
Yes, I do. It's called Marnie Clark Breast Health Coach. That is, I've actually got two groups. That is my more, how do I say this? I
Public
post a lot of, I
facing.
post a lot of stuff on there about, my recent, articles from the website, research, all sorts of bits and pieces, things, inspirational things. And I also have a closed group, a private group, which is called Toxic Free Thrivers. And that's for people who are choosing to go through breast cancer using natural medicine as much as possible. So there's two options there.
Okay. And as I say, the links will be in, I'll put the links in the show notes. So, Marnie, thank you so much.
Well,
Now,
thank you for inviting me. I'm really, really happy to be a part of this.
yeah, no, it's so important, I guess, to me to have really high quality interviews. And the fact that, and we've said this a couple of times, this is a two episode chat interview. So that if anybody's listening now and you missed the last one, go back to last week and listen to Marnie's first half. And yeah, I'll put all the links in the show notes. As I conclude, the usual closure for me. Thank you for tuning in. I usually recommend that you leave 5 stars, but I think with Marnie, you're going to have to leave more than that. Just drop a couple of extras on the end. Please feel free to share any of these episodes. And if you, I, quite often, wherever you listen to podcasts, there is a place to comment. If there isn't, then you go to twoboomerwomen.com/join-the-conversation. Thanks for tuning in this week. Check out last week and, of course, come back next week. Marnie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Agnes. It's been a real pleasure.
Have a good rest of the week.
Thanks.